I would speak to you today about some practices of prayer. Some practices of prayer. I want to say that all the readings are so wonderful today. The second reading in particular struck me as a priest, and also due to the fact that tomorrow morning I'm getting on a plane very early to go out to Denver to preach to 70 brother priests. I'll be leading a retreat for the priest of the Archdiocese of Denver, and I ask your prayer. And that beautiful second reading, of course, is a key text. But I want to preach mainly out of the first reading today and maybe link to the gospel. And as I speak to you again about some practices of prayer, we're called to prayer, and at times prayer is a struggle for most of us. We live in a world full of distractions. We're used to kind of instant, quick communications, and prayer just doesn't fit into those kinds of expectations, and it can be difficult. We have to still our soul. We have to sit quietly and listen. Today, just to notice, though, some practices of prayer that are central to us who would be men and women of prayer. First of all, notice there is the problem for prayer. The problem. It just says this at the beginning of the first reading. In those days, Amalek, the Amalekites, came and waged war against Israel. That's a problem, all right? So you got an invading nation. You know, we have in our life, we've got problems. And when problems come, we need to pray. Now, it should not be this way, my brothers and sisters, but nothing can get a lot of folks praying like a few problems, all right? Troubles have a funny way of getting us on our knees and saying, "Help!" It should not be that way, but it is. And the Lord knows that we need a few troubles in our life, and they have a role. That is to say, not just to get us praying, but to keep us humble, to remind us that our lives are very fragile, that things unexpectedly can come up, and that we really need to be humble. We need to be developing a good, strong relationship with God, who alone can save us and help us. And so this is why troubles, if you will, and prayer frequently go together. But obviously the Lord is saying to us, pray at all times. But in troubles, we tend to have a little more motivation to pray. So there is, if you will, this problem for prayer. Now, you may not have the Amalekites coming up against you, but we've all got some troubles. We've all got the devil. He's trying to wage war against us. And we need to be more aware of the drama and the subtleties that he is doing in our life. We've also got any number of things that happen just because we live in this world. There's things like finances. There's things like health. There's things like all kinds of just sufferings and troubles. And there's injustices. And we find just all kinds of trouble in this world. And there is, therefore, a problem for prayer. When problems come, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord and begin to pray. And not just help, Lord, but give me insight. Give me wisdom. Help me to understand. Give me some ways that I can either endure the trial or escape the trial or just find healing from you. But Lord, I need you in my life. Indeed, we've always got to just run to the Lord in prayer. You know that old, that beautiful old spiritual. It just says, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and he pitied every groan. And long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. I'll hasten to his throne. So again, there is the problem for prayer. And problems help us sometimes to find our prayers become multiplied. Now, not only is there the problem for prayer, but notice there is the priority for prayer. It says here that when this trouble arose, it says, Moses therefore said to Joshua, now you go pick out your army. Go get your, muster them for battle. See? You do that. And I'm going to go up on the top of the hill and I'm going to stand there with the staff of God in my hand. Now remember, Moses was almost 110 years old at this time, all right? He's not going to lead the army, all right? He's going to go up on the hill and pray, all right? But notice again, there's an important word here I want you not to miss. So Joshua did as the Lord told him, and he engaged the Amalekites in battle after Moses had climbed to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. A little word after. Prayer is a priority. You see, too often we let prayer be like a rear guard action. We go off and we do our own stuff, and then we get into trouble and we say, "Hey, what happened?" God says, "I never told you to do that." I mean, it's amazing how many people do really big things in their life without ever really talking to God, without ever really praying. They'll get married without praying. "Is that the one you want me to marry, Lord?" "Oh, I'm in love." Well, I hope it's got to be more than that, amen? But again, you see that they'll take jobs, they'll move to distant cities, do really big things, projects, and never really say, "Lord, is this what I ought to do?" They say, "Well, I don't hear a voice come out of the ceiling." I know, my brothers and sisters, but you see, we've got to go to the Lord, though, and we've got to seek advice, and we've got to be deeply rooted. And this is where prayer, as a practice, it's not just that we're praying in appointed moments where there's either a trouble that's arisen or a decision to be made, but if you're praying like you ought to be, and I am, we ought to be men and women of prayer. And what prayer does is it begins to immerse us in the values of God, the disciplines of God, the thoughts of God, the priorities of God, and so that when decisions need to be made or troubles are being faced, we have already been deeply immersed in what makes sense for us, who I am, who God is, and what He expects me to do. And yes, in the moment to say, "Is this the person I should marry? Or is this the decision I should make to take the job and move to another city," or whatever the big decision is. You see, it's not just in the moment, though. It's being men and women who have been disciplined to pray and to be deeply rooted in the Scriptures, in the teachings of our Lord. Are you praying with me now, huh? So we see that there's the problem for prayer, and now we notice the priority for prayer. The prayer needs to come first, not later. We say, "God, can you fix up all this mess I've made?" And maybe He can, but the point is He should not have to. Amen? So we now move, though, to the power of prayer. It says that as long as Moses kept his hands raised up Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, the Amalekites had the better of the fight. Let's look at this from two perspectives. Let's look at note the power of prayer. When Moses is praying, the victory is theirs. When Moses lets his hands down, defeat begins to move in on them. Now, let me ask you a question. We've had nuclear weapons available to us for almost 80 years now. How do you think we haven't just completely wiped each other out yet? Because, you know, we're pretty stupid. By ourselves, we'd probably do it, right? I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm thinking of some religious sisters and brothers and monks. I'm thinking of people who pray every day for this old hellbound, sin-soaked world. I'm thinking of folks who've really taken up prayer. And because other things being equal, you'd think by now we would have used those things. That's how foolish and stupid we can be collectively. So you see, somebody has been praying for us. Are you grateful? And it may not just be in the monasteries, it's just our grandmothers and grandfathers and folks say, "Oh Lord, it's looking bad. Pray for this world." Some folks are great prayer warriors and they're praying. So count your blessings, all right, for the blessings that come from prayer. But you know, we also know that this world is becoming very morally dark. There's a lot of confusion. Why is that? An awful lot of folks ain't praying. They're not studying Scripture, and they're not handing on the faith. That's why, see. And again, we've got to understand that if we're praying, things are going to go well. If we stop praying, if we stop studying our faith, if we stop rooting ourselves in the whole fruit of prayer, namely the faith that the Lord wants to give us, things go poorly. We all have decisions to make. It actually matters every day, my brothers and sisters, whether you decide to pray or just skip it. Whether you decide to hear the call to holiness and keep the commandments or just blow them off. It actually matters. Oh, I'm just one little person. Listen, all I know is it matters. It matters. And so again, there is a power in prayer, but oh, the trouble if we don't pray. if we let down our hands, if we no longer lift our hands in prayer and lift our hands in instruction and show the way, the world becomes very dark very quickly. And so again, there's the power of prayer. But that leads us then to the partnership for prayer. It says that as Moses was lifting his hands, remember, this guy's 110 years old or thereabouts. He starts to lose his strength and his arms become feeble. And so what has to happen then? We know he has to keep his hands up praying. So what does he need? He needs some prayer partners. So it says here that Moses' hands grew tired, so they put a rock in place for him to sit. And meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. Who are your prayer partners? Who do you pray with? Well, that's a private thing, Father. I don't pray with anybody. We all need some partners in prayer. We need folks. Now, we're all praying together, amen? I thank you for being a prayer partner with me today. See? But are you able to pray with anybody else? Are you trying to fight the battles of life all by yourself? And I don't just mean just the devotional prayer, praying with somebody, but when you who do you have when you need advice, who's a good spiritual person who can point and show you the way? Can you pick up the phone? And do you have those kind of friends in your life? Or your friends, or my friends, just those folks, you know, that hang out at bars and, you know, are watching all the same stupid stuff on television as you are, you know? Who is there in your life and in my life who's wise, who's rooted in God, who's faithful and steady and can show you the way and will speak the truth? And if you ask them a question, they'll actually give you an answer. Do you have folks like that? We all need them. We need it. And so again, prayer, it's a battle to pray. We do grow weak. We grow tired. We can be discouraged. In those moments, who lifts you up your hands? Who says, let me pray with you? Let me give you a word of encouragement? Who is that? See, we have to work hard to develop in our life resources. Life is not just about money or having things and stuff and internet connections. Life is about having people. The most important things in life are not things. They are people who we can turn to in difficult moments and say, would you pray with me? Would you help me? I need a word of encouragement. So again, there's a partnership for prayer. Now, just to review, we've seen some of these practices and patterns of prayer. So what are they? Well, there's the problem for prayer. We tend to need a few troubles in our life. We just need a few. I'm mindful of another old Mahalia Jackson song that, Lord, the way may not be easy. You never said it would be. But when my way gets a little too easy, Lord, I tend to stray from thee. Mm-mm-mm. It should not be that way, my brothers and sisters. But there are problems, and they can help us to stay rooted in prayer. So there's a problem for prayer. There's the priority of prayer. Prayer needs to come first, not be a rear guard action. And then there's a power of prayer. Oh, what a difference prayer makes. And when we are not praying, what a difference that makes. And then there is the need, therefore, because prayer is so critical, because living our faith and staying at the prayer wheel and staying faithful is so critical, we need partners in prayer. By the way, I want to say that there's a lot of folks in this parish that are way above average when it comes to partnership. I'm aware that the Women's Fellowship met down at the school yesterday. I'm aware of some of the ladies that get on the phone every morning and pray together and lift each other up and encourage. I'm aware of our Holy Name men who support and lift each other up, our nights. And I'm aware of those things. And again, those are the things that are so critical and difficult and dark times. So we see not only the partnership of prayer, now we move on to the persistence of prayer. It says, Moses' hands now remain steady until sunset. Steady until sunset. How long did you pray till sunset? I don't mean today's sunset. I mean the sunset of your life. I mean the day you die. You need to pray. I need to pray every day without ceasing, constantly calling out to God, calling out to Him till the very day we die. All the way to sunset, all the way. And so we see that there is this persistence that we need to have in prayer, a persistence. Now, that leads to the gospel. It's a wonderful gospel. You know, it's funny. It's a funny gospel, y'all. It's very Jewish too. So Jesus tells this parable. Now listen, he told them a parable about the need to pray always till sunset and not lose heart. And he says, hey, I will tell you, there was a judge, and he neither feared God, nor he did not fear man. He feared no one. And this widow comes to him day after day. She comes after him. I demand justice from you against my opponent. He says, go away, old woman, go away. Finally, though, the judge says to himself, oy vey, I better render for this woman because she comes to me every day. And if I don't render for her, she will end by giving me a black eye. Now, that's a funny story, right? And isn't that beautiful? See how humble our God can be? He says, look, I know you struggle to pray. I know you wonder why I delay. I understand all that. You know? And so he tells a funny story. But he's saying, do you understand? Now he says, look at the unjust judge. If an unjust judge will render for this woman just because of her persistence, how much more so will my Father render for you who call out to him day and night? We got to learn to persevere in prayer. You say, well, why doesn't God give it to me the first minute I ask for it? I don't know, but you're a parent. Would you do that to all your kids? And he said, oh, I want something, Daddy. Oh, here it is. Is that necessarily a good father? And even if you intend to give it to the child, maybe now's not the time. No, you need to wait till after dinner. Or you need to wait until until something else is done, or you get the point. But you see, again, there are lots of reasons. I'm not going to develop them today, but God does ask us to persevere in prayer. He doesn't just give us everything at the drop of a hat. It's not good for us. But he says, I want you to persevere. Keep asking. Wear me out. I tell you what, though, God's got the opposite problem. There's an old spiritual that just says, King Jesus is listening all day long just to hear one sinner pray. Father, I'm not hearing much prayer coming from down there. That's right. They're all busy watching the football game. Now, well, I did hear a few calls for the game to go well, but I don't think I understand. They have this game, and it's a bag full of air that moves up and down the field. It's such a trivial thing, Father. Do you think, no, wait for them to really pray. King Jesus is a listen all day long just to hear one sinner pray. Lord is saying, would you please do me the favor of at least wearing me out a little bit with your prayer? All right? Oh, they're asking that again? Well, all right. You see, he's tweaking us a little bit with his humor, isn't he? Right? Now, brothers and sisters, I know. We all feel like, oh, Lord, prayer, my gosh, so much to pray for. You know, I'm supposed to keep my hands lifted in prayer, and I need prayer partners, and I got to persevere, and there's just so much, and my mind is very weak, and I forget, and people ask me to pray, and I don't remember, and I don't even remember to pray for half the things I need in life, and oh, I'm worn out. Listen, God knows what you need. God knows our weakness, but he wants us to pray. Now, St. Augustine gives some good advice here. He says that more is accomplished in prayer by sighs and tears than by many words. We can feel so easily overwhelmed, like Moses. His hands are lifted and he starts to, they drop and they drop, and he needs prayer partners, and there's so much to pray for, almost a crushing burden. Just say, Lord, help! That's a good prayer. That's a one-word prayer. Help! Or another one. You say, Lord, The list, Lord. You know what's on that list better than I know what's on that list. Lord, the list. Every morning, the priests and all the religious throughout the world begin the divine office. They say, God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Which basically translated means, Lord, help and hurry up. You know, you don't have to multiply words, but just to sit before God for a few moments and just... The Lord hears the sigh of the poor. Sighs and tears. Lord, so much. Another little thing you can try, it's kind of a practice. You know, you turn on the news today and it's pretty discouraging, right? Another shooting, more political foolishness, all kinds of stuff, right? Huh? Oh. pray the news. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You know, just pray as you hear the news. See? Pray. And so again, there is this persistence in prayer that we're called to. So I'm going to do the last one now, but just a quick review. There's the problem for prayer, the priority for prayer, the power of prayer, the partnership of prayer, the persistence in prayer. Pray till sunset. And then the product of prayer. It's said very indelicately here. It just says, Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Woo! Now you see, the Lord speaks to us in these images because, well, we don't understand more subtle spiritual things frequently, but we do understand things like money and war. We understand that stuff. And the image here, therefore, is you see, you want victory over injustice. You want victory over Satan. You want victory over all forms of wickedness and sinfulness and darkness. And the Lord says, I want you to know, you come pray to me. You stay at the prayer and you will have victory. Your enemies will be mowed down with the edge of the sword. Not literal physical death, but you will win through to the end. You will see justice. You will see it. If not here on this earth, you will see it in heaven. And I will tell you on the last day of judgment, the whole world is going to stand before me and know what was right and what was wrong. And you just make sure you're on my side. But I tell you this, you will see the vindication. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. I will avenge. You come to me, though. You come and understand. You pray. Keep praying. Don't give up. Keep praying. Pray some more. But nothing seems to be happening. I said, you keep praying. You leave it to me to know my answer will come right on time. And not 1 minute before and not 1 minute after. But your job is to pray. You are to pray. In every problem, in every trial, and in every joy, and in every victory, you just keep praying. And make it a priority in your life. Don't wait as a rearguard action, but pray before. And understand the power of prayer. And it's subtle, and it works quietly, and you won't always see what a difference it makes. But I want you to know, you trust me, says the Lord. Prayer makes all the difference. And to fail to pray makes all the difference. You stay at your prayer post. You acquire some partners because you're going to struggle to pray. It's not always going to be easy to pray. It's not always going to be easy to engage in the battle. You persist in it, and I promise you a great product, the product of prayer, total victory in the end. You will be with me in heaven one day in glory, and you will see every fruit for which you have prayed. Now you come to me, says the Lord, and you keep praying, and you will see. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to say that I've experienced the power of prayer in my life. I hope you have too. I want you to know I'm the result of prayer, and I know you've been praying for me. And I know that I've prayed for you, and we just keep praying. I want you to know that I came here first in 1993. What is that, about 23 years ago? And I was away for a little period in the middle, but I've been with this community now, and I want you to know, because of the prayer we do here, I'm a changed man. Now, I'm not what I want to be. Say amen. I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. Prayer changes things. Even a stubborn, stiff-necked, getting older pastor like me, prayer changes things. And you just never know. You may not always live to see the results, but God sees through. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, y'all, took the time and prayed for me. And I am so glad you prayed for me. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. Somebody, please pray. Amen.